This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You guys, I am so excited. My new course on behavior, the Practical Behavior Approach, is officially done and ready to go. Enrollment is only open until April 30th. And if you are someone who is supporting a child with frequent challenging behaviors, listen in because this course is for you. This course was designed for any teacher, special ed or gen ed, clinician or parent, working with a child with frequent negative behaviors. This course is going to prepare you with a comprehensive toolbox. You're going to have all the tools you need to prevent problem behaviors, respond when problem behaviors happen, and to build those missing skills. We go in depth into why behavior happens, looking at contributing factors like diagnosis, trauma, anxiety, and sensory need. This is truly a cohesive course where strategies are rooted in the science of applied behavior analysis, but also rooted in trauma-informed practices. So you're going to have both perspectives to develop this really robust framework of strategies that is truly going to be effective. So if you are feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, or out of answers on how to support your kids, click on the link in the show notes and learn a little bit more about this course and how the training and all of the downloads and tools are going to really help support you on this journey to helping your child be successful. I can't fully express how excited I am to get this course in your hands. Click on the link in show notes. Let me know if you have any questions. And when you get started, let me know how it goes.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Today, let's talk about emotional regulation. This is such an important skill that I really think isn't talked about enough. It's really at the core of helping us be successful with challenging emotions, which we all have. In my upcoming course, The Practical Behavior Approach, we go in depth on emotional regulation, why it's important, and how to build it. So I thought I would touch on this in the podcast as well. So today I want to share what emotional regulation is, why it's really important, and why challenges in this are developmentally appropriate. And then we're going to jump into some strategies on how we can build these skills in both the school and home settings. So first off, what is emotional regulation? Well, this is an executive function. It's located in that prefrontal cortex of the brain, which we've talked about before with executive function scale building. Emotional regulation helps us manage and cope with big emotions. So we can still be successful and independent and communicative despite the emotions that we are feeling. This ties directly into challenging behaviors that we're seeing with our kids and our students, because when our kids have big emotions, oftentimes that's when big behaviors come out. And it's really pointing to a challenge and a deficit with emotional regulation, that our kids can't behave right when they don't feel right. So this is a really important skill to build. Our kids need to learn how to cope and handle big emotions. Big emotions are going to happen. Part of the process of building emotional regulation is validating those feelings. Those feelings are okay. What we're going to support our kids in learning is what to do with those feelings. The goal is regulating emotions, not fixing or erasing the emotions. In our lives, we are going to feel lonely, frustrated, worried, left out, embarrassed, ashamed. Those emotions are part of life. And if we never teach our kids how to handle those emotions, they are going to really struggle in adolescence and adulthood when they don't have the skills and strategies to cope with those emotions when they happen. So instead of pushing down those emotions. Instead of saying that those emotions aren't valid, aren't right, are wrong, etc., we instead are going to really shift gears and look at how we can support when those emotions happen, because we know they are. I think part of the process on learning how to build emotional regulation skills is really learning what to avoid. I know for myself as a parent, this has been really helpful for me on knowing what things I should avoid saying, what strategies and kind of responses I should steer away from, because these strategies are really going to hinder emotional regulation development. This is a skill that develops throughout early childhood, adolescence, and into adulthood. Struggles with this are developmentally normal. Our young kids do not yet have the skills to regulate their emotions. We know that. Their brain is still developing. But we are here to support them along the way and give them those strategies and supports as they build up this skill. So I, as the parent or as the educator, want to know what things I should avoid doing that will hinder building up that skill. The first thing that you can do that can really hinder emotional regulation is shutting down feelings. And I didn't realize how natural of a response this is. You know, if your child says, I'm upset, I'm frustrated, I'm worried, it's almost instinct for us to say, oh, don't be worried, don't be scared, don't be upset, right? That seems second nature to tell our kids not to feel what they're feeling. And it's not that we want to hinder emotional regulation, it's that we want to take away those hardships, right? We as the adult, whether it's the teacher or the parent, we don't like seeing our kids struggle or with these big hard emotions, so we're like, oh, don't feel that. But that response is, first of all, not effective. And second of all, can really disrupt building emotional regulation, because it's teaching our kids that their feelings are not valid, their feelings are not accepted, and it can really damage rapport. So let's first talk about how that response is really just not productive, right? If you're like, oh, you don't have to worry about the test, it'll be fine, or, you know, don't say, hey, you hate math. Math is important. You're good at it. When we shut those feelings down, we are not helping in that moment, right? Very rarely is a child going to be like, oh, okay, you're right. I shouldn't be scared. Oh, you're right. I shouldn't be frustrated, right? The kid's about to throw something at you because their frustration is overtaking their entire body. And you're like, hey, don't be frustrated. They're not going to like put the item down and be like, oh, you're right. Good point. But good point, Sasha. I'm not going to throw this. No, right? You also wouldn't like if someone did that to you, right? If someone was like, hey, don't be upset about that. It wouldn't be helpful for you either. You wouldn't be like, oh, you're right, I won't be upset that I just broke my new iPhone. No, you're not thinking that. So that response is unproductive. And on the other side, it's also really unhelpful because, you know, picturing those scenarios that I just said, you're that person that's pushing those feelings down, that's saying, don't feel these feelings. You're not like loving that person in that moment, right? If you break your new iPhone and you're upset about it and someone's like, don't be upset about it, it's just a phone. First of all, that doesn't help. And second of all, you're not like, oh, wow, that person was so helpful to me. I'm going to really go to them next time I'm upset, right? Kind of breaks your bond there. You're like, oh, well, you are not showing me the support I need in this moment by allowing me these feelings that next time I have big, hard feelings, I'm not going to you. So dismissing emotions isn't productive and can also really have a negative impact on that connection or relationship. The other thing that can really hinder emotional regulation is telling their a child that their feelings aren't valid. So, you know, on one hand, we tell a child not to feel something like, oh, don't be worried, don't be upset. But sometimes we kind of downplay those feelings like, oh, this is nothing to worry about, or, oh, you shouldn't be scared of that. That's not going to be scary. So we're identifying this emotion that they have and telling them that the reason behind their emotion is not valid. Again, for the same reasons we just talked about, this is going to really stunt emotional regulation because we are teaching a child that their emotions are not valid, we are not giving them support tools, and we're kind of teaching them to suppress these feelings. So that also will not be effective in building these skills. So let's move on to what is helpful in building emotional regulation skills. Remember, a lack of emotional regulation in childhood and adolescence is developmentally normal. If your child is struggling with this, know that that is just part of development. Their brains are still forming. Babies do not enter the world with a fully formed prefrontal cortex. They develop that throughout adolescence, throughout childhood, through experiences, and through their learning opportunities. And that's our role as the adults. Our role is to support building these skills, to give strategies, to give suggestions, to model how we can cope with emotions. When we focus on this in childhood and adolescence, we're really preparing our kids to be successful in adulthood. I'm sure right now you can brainstorm a few adults in your lives that have really poor emotional regulation skills. Maybe you have a neighbor or a friend or, you know, a sister-in-law that, man, every time they have any big emotion, it just takes over. If they are frustrated, it's ruining the whole day, the whole week, the whole party, right? If they are embarrassed, they're talking about it for days because they don't have coping strategies in place on how to handle those emotions. This is a lifelong problem. It's something that we always want to be working on and building on, and we start this foundation in childhood and adolescence, and that's what we want to really do for our kids is give them those strategies now.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the three big areas that emotional regulation skill building fall into are 1, learning how to pre-regulate, 2, learning how to name and validate feelings, and 3, building up ways to cope and express emotion. So that's kind of how I think about emotional regulation skill building is pre-regulation, naming and validating feelings, and coping strategies. Those are the kind of the three areas that we're going to talk about. First off, pre-regulation. I love pre-regulation. This is being proactive. This is being preventative. This is preparing ahead of time for situations that can cause big and challenging emotions. This is where we as teachers and parents, I think, really can shine because we know what the triggers are, right? We know what things can kind of set our kids off. Man, if they lose this game, it's going to be really hard. And we have to wake up really early tomorrow after a late night out or when there is no outdoor recess. Oh my gosh, that can really be a trigger for those big emotions of being frustrated, angry, or upset. So before those triggers happen, we get ready for them. We discuss, we model, we visualize, we review important visuals related to this. We get ready for those triggers so when they happen, our kids are prepared. So as you anticipate those triggers for big emotions, plan time ahead of time when you and your child are calm. You are in a good state of mind. We're not dealing with big emotions in the moment where you can discuss what might happen. Bring in social stories here. Role play is a really great thing you could do. Like, hey, if you do lose Candyland, how can we practice that? What can you say to your sister if you lose Candyland and your sister wins? You could say, oh, good job, Jenny. Great game. Let's play again. Let's practice saying that. Go through that process. This may feel like it requires a lot of patience, and it does, right? Because we're thinking ahead of all these things that could cause problems, and we're preparing before that. Antecedent-based interventions are an evidence-based strategy, preventing problem behaviors before they start. And in this case, not only are we preventing problem behaviors, but our goal is actually building up those positive, proactive strategies. We're building up those good skills for our kids that, hey, they have a plan in place for when the big emotions happen. They know how they're going to cope with it and communicate that, and they are ready to go. So pre-regulation is huge. One way I love incorporating pre-regulation into a classroom is doing a daily emotion check-in or a daily mindfulness check-in for my older kids and having the spot in the day where we all kind of ground ourselves in how we are feeling. We all kind of check in. How's my body feeling? What emotions do I have? This not only is going to lead us right into the next strategy of naming and validating those emotions, but it identifies what some of those triggers could be. Oh, I feel a little worried today because we have that test this afternoon. That's going to give you a lot of great information about what things you want to pre-regulate for and get prepared for. So a daily emotion check-in can be a really helpful way to start this process. The second set of strategies is naming and validating feelings and emotions. There is a quote in a book I read recently that said, you have to name it to tame it. So you have to know how to name the emotion to tame the emotion. This is the first big step, that we want to start labeling those emotions so we can then incorporate this into conversation, we can have discussions about it, and we can lead into those coping strategies. And in the process of naming or labeling those emotions, we're also going to validate those feelings. Like, hey, Johnny, when you throw your paper on the floor, it looks like you feel angry. It's okay to feel angry. It's not okay to throw things. This is the distinction that I really heavily want to make here. When we validate emotions, we are really just validating the feeling, not necessarily the behavior. And you don't have to agree with the feeling. You might be like, wow, that's a really small thing to be that frustrated about. That's okay. That's your perception, right? But that child is feeling in a big way upset about it. So we want to label, validate those feelings. Those feelings are allowed. We are not necessarily agreeing with the behavior associated with the feelings. That comes in the next step when we work on coping strategies. So when we validate feelings, notice those feelings like, hey, I heard you had a rough day at school. You may be feeling a little bit upset. Acknowledge that those feelings are real, even if they're exaggerated, even if they don't seem suitable for the situation, allow them. And sometimes just sit there, you know, be that witness, right? Empathize. You don't have to say they're right or wrong. You don't have to place blame. This is non-judgmental. This is just labeling, validating. This is what you are feeling, and you are allowed to feel that. Now, after we name and validate emotions, then we can get into those coping strategies and how to express emotions positively. Our goal with emotional regulation is that we are teaching healthy ways to express emotions. That when we're angry, we don't tear up the paper and throw pencils. We say, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I need help. That is the difference. That's the goal of having a child with strong emotional regulation skills, that they have positive, healthy ways to express their emotions. They can still feel those feelings, but they have now a set of strategies in place for how to cope and express what those feelings are. So coping strategies can be taught during pre-regulation. Then we can kind of refer back to them during those times of big emotions. Coping strategies are individual to each person, and they differ depending on the context and the situation. These are things that can help kind of regulate our body, bring our blood pressure down, get our breathing back on track, lower our heart rate, especially if we're angry, furious, frustrated. This could be going on a walk. This could be deep breaths, putting your head down, taking a break, making a list. All of those things are different types of coping strategies. When it comes to building and teaching coping strategies, my two must-have components for any kind of system or process you use is you must give choices and it must be visually based. Because coping strategies are individual to each person, we of course want to give the child the choice of what coping strategies they use. We don't know necessarily what's going to be successful. So we're going to give that option to them. And second, it has to be visually based. This could mean photos, could mean pictures, could be words, could be color coding. But because this could be used in a time of high stress, we want to lean into visuals, not just have verbal language, which could be overwhelming, be the only strategy or way communication mode that we give when offering these choices. So we want to model and practice these coping strategies. We want to offer those choices in the moment when big behaviors happen. And after we use coping strategies, the next piece is teaching how to move on. Kids that have great emotional regulation skills and adults that have great emotional regulation skills are able to bounce back after a big emotion. I can be frustrated, I can be upset, but then I can go back to work or I can return to the conversation. I can move on from that emotion, get back to school activities, home life, previously scheduled routines. So coping strategies help us kind of bring us back down to a place of calm so we can rejoin our schedule, rejoin our day. I could go on and on about emotional regulation. This is such an important topic and such an important thing for us to focus on with our learners who are consistently exhibiting big, hard behaviors because those are likely tied to big, hard emotions. Now, in my upcoming behavior course, The Practical Behavior Approach, I have an entire module dedicated to the skills that our learners need to build in order to replace those negative behaviors. These are things like emotional regulation, problem solving, sustained attention, resilience, empathy, so many important things that we need in order to overcome these big behaviors that our kids have. That course is opening soon. The link to our waitlist, so you are the first to know when it is live, is in the show notes. Sign up for that waitlist because we have a special promo for those on the waitlist once the course launches.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VB map and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.